You're listening to Smart Talk. I'm Scott Lamar. Radon gas has been identified as the second leading cause of lung cancer after smoking. 21,000 lung cancer deaths a year can be attributed to radon exposure. It's estimated that 40% of Pennsylvania homes have radon levels above guidelines from the U.S. Department of Environmental Protection. But you may not even realize there's radon in your home. You can't smell, taste, or even see it, but it poses a danger in many homes. Joining us today is Robert Lewis, Radon Program Manager with the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, Kevin Stewart, Director of Environmental Health at the American Lung Association of the Mid-Atlantic, and Mike Webster of M. Webster Construction Incorporated in Lebanon. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Bob Lewis, let me start with you.
Thanks, Bob.
What is radon? Sure.
Radon, Scott, is it's a radioactive gas. It's naturally occurring. It's carcinogenic. And it's, unfortunately for Pennsylvania, it's quite prevalent in Pennsylvania. So it's something we're very appreciative of you getting the word out to as many people as possible.
When you say that it is prevalent in Pennsylvania, I seem to remember that Pennsylvania, that we had the most homes with radon of any state in the country at one time. Is that still the case?
I don't know if we've had the most homes, but we certainly have a good percentage of our homes that have very high levels, and it's prevalent, you know, east, west, north, south, and in basically all 67 of our counties. So very, very prevalent, yes.
So where does radon come from?
It comes from just the natural decay of basically radium, which is a daughter of uranium. I think everybody's familiar with uranium. And we just have slightly enriched concentrations in the soil and rocks of uranium and radium. And that's where the radon ultimately comes from. The problem, or the reason that we have the problem, is because radon, of all these other products, is a gas. So it's quite mobile in the soil, and it's able to travel from the soil into our homes through the basement foundations and so forth, and cracks and penetrations in the basement.
You know, it seems as though radon is, I don't want to say relatively new, but I seem to remember only hearing about it in the last 20 years. Is this something new that we recently, and by recently I mean the last 20, 25 years, have discovered that this is a potential danger here in Pennsylvania?
You're basically correct. More like 1984 was actually when the engineer down at Limerick Power Plant set off the porthole monitors as he was going in the plant. And then they basically tracked it down. It wasn't the plant that was contaminating. It was his home. And these high levels of radon in his home were actually contaminating his clothing. He set these alarms off at the nuclear power plant. And once again, they tracked it back to his home. So that was basically the start of the radon problem in the United States. Yes.
So how does radon present itself?
Can you rephrase that question, Scott? How does it present itself?
I thought to myself, how do I phrase this question? And we're going to be talking with Mike Webster here in just a moment about ways to mitigate radon. When I say present itself, you can't taste it, you can't smell it, you can't see it. As you said, it's a gas that is a mobile gas. So how do you know that it is there?
Right, yeah, that's a good question. Okay, now I understand. You don't, basically. You don't know. Unfortunately, and that's unfortunate for us. So the only way, therefore, to determine if you have a problem is to test. And that's what we and Kevin and the ALA have been broadcasting for basically the last 35 years for the homeowners, the school districts, the building owners and so forth in Pennsylvania, simply to get a test kit themselves or have a certified tester come in and do the testing for you. And that's the way you determine whether you have a problem or not and the extent of the problem as well.
Kevin Stewart is Director of Environmental Health at the American Lung Association of the Mid-Atlantic. Kevin, even though we have heard about this, as Bob said, since 1984, it may surprise people that radon, exposure to radon, is the second leading cause of lung cancer in this country. Talk about that a little bit, if you would.
That's right. We certainly know cigarette smoking is the number one cause. But radon, being invisible, odorless, colorless, doesn't cause any symptoms, kind of fall under people's radar. It's not something that people are able to sense in any way, unless, of course, they do some testing and find out what the numbers are. But nevertheless, you know, we certainly have seen a significant increase in the number of people as smoking has gone down. We see that means there are more never smokers in the country, and anyone can get lung cancer. Anyone with lungs can get lung cancer. And the idea is that lots of never smokers are showing up with high levels of lung cancer, especially we notice among women who are generally more typically likely to be in a home environment where radon levels sometimes are higher than you know, a wide open commercial building. But we do know that it affects people young and old, and it is a serious issue because lung cancer is a cancer that doesn't have immediate symptoms for many people. Only when the symptoms show up later, lung cancer often is advanced to an advanced stage, making it much more difficult to treat, and mortality is very high. The survival rate is only about 1 in 5 people after 5 years of diagnosis are still alive from lung cancer.
Yeah, you just touched on something that I was going to mention, that lung cancer is one of the more dangerous types of cancer that there are out there. Something, Kevin, that I did notice, though, of those 21,000 lung cancer deaths a year, that the great majority of them, even though they were exposed to radon, still were smokers. So do we know, I mean, the figure I remember was like 5,000 people who died were non-smokers and their lung cancer attributed to radon. So smoking may have been a factor. Do we know, you know, which one you can point to more often? I mean, obviously smoking is more dangerous.
Yeah, that's an excellent question. And we do recognize, of course, that cigarette smoking and radon act synergistically. That's something that's known, been known for some decades now. The problem is that you cannot necessarily say in any particular population like that which one it was. The basic idea is that if either of those exposures had not occurred in that population, either they hadn't been smokers or they hadn't been exposed to high levels of radon, then they wouldn't have gotten lung cancer. So this combined effect is clearly shown here. And we know that there are two obvious ways to prevent lung cancer. Not smoke, quit smoke if you are, of course. And then, of course, test and fix for radon.
Well, let's talk about that, testing and fixing for radon. Mike Webster of M. Webster Construction in Lebanon. Mike, welcome to the program. So this is something that you do. You test for radon and then you mitigate for radon. Talk about when you're going into a home and what you're looking to do.
Good morning, Scott. Yes, so it's very easy to mitigate in most cases, your radon level, whether it be slightly elevated or extremely elevated, that mostly the most efficient way is to do subslab mitigation, which would be creating a negative air pressure under the slab and venting the soil gases outside actively so they don't have a chance to come up into your living space. When we go out to a house, we survey what their foundation type is, what kind of drains and HVAC systems they may have in place. And we want to get a nice tight seal on the floor so that we can use a nice small fan, create a great negative pressure underneath the slab. And in most cases, the job can be done in a half a day.
Is it costly?
It's not very costly. I would say most homes can be fixed between $1,000 and $2,000. Some less, some more, depending on crawl spaces and foundation types. But most people are in $1,000 to $2,000 range, which is a little more than replacing your air filters, but certainly not near as bad as replacing a furnace or anything like that. And there's many benefits to putting a mitigation system in other than just removing radon. It'll move any other soil gases that are coming up that you don't know to test for. And with the constant air movement, you're also getting reduced moisture under the slab, which is also a great benefit to installing a radon system.
Correct me if I'm wrong. There's no insurance that covers the cost for radon mitigation?
Not that I've found. A lot of people ask me about that when I go to do an estimate for them. And we haven't found anything yet that goes for that. A lot of places that offer the home warranties, that doesn't seem to be a part of it. Maybe there's some models out there that allow for that, but I haven't run across anyone of my customers yet that was able to have an insurance plan to pay for it.
Bob Lewis, is this something, though, that when a home is built or a home is being sold, that there's some kind of radon testing requirement or mitigation before a home is sold or built?
Well, you're asking you two questions, Scott. We encourage the new home builders in Pennsylvania. It's not a requirement, but we're at this point, we're just encouraging them to install some features in the during its construction process, which are all well known to the builders, to make it much easier that subsequently, after the house is finished, that a radon test is done, it makes it much easier for them to fix the problem. And it's also probably, it is more aesthetically pleasing system than to retrofit it. The second question regarding real estate, it's not required to have a test done when you're buying or selling a house. Most of the time, it is part of the home inspection, and we certainly encourage all real estate transactions to include a radon test. I mean, if I was buying a house, I would, do the normal home inspection, the roof and so on and so forth, and septic system, well water, and a radon test by all means. And once again, particularly in Pennsylvania, where we're so prevalent. So those were sort of two separate issues.
So, Mike Webster, do you, as the contractor, actually test, or do people call you, customers call you, after their home has been tested and they show higher levels of radon, or they suspect they have higher levels of radon?
Yes, I get calls for both. Some people say, I never tested for radon. Are you able to test? And we are. We have electronic monitors, and we also can provide charcoal passive test kits that will go to the lab for analysis. But many times when the phone rings, it's someone who did a home test on their own, and now they have the results back, and they're looking to get those levels lowered.
Let's take a phone call from Misa. I don't see where Misa is from, but Misa, you're on Smart Talk.
This is Misa, and I am from Cashtown, Pennsylvania, Adams County.
Okay.
My question is, I live in a house that's over 200 years old. The basement is just ground, not finished. Years ago, I got a radon test kit that they gave out at senior fairs, and it came back that my basement was too damp to measure the radon level. So I'm wondering what else can I do to test? It's not going to be a major expense. Mm.
Kevin Stewart, I saw you kind of nodding your head as she mentioned that. What about that?
Well, I'm sorry, of course, that you had a test result that wasn't usable, but we all still encourage, I'm sure that Bob Lewis can add some more information here from the Department of Environmental Protection's perspective, but we would recommend that you do a test. If the basement is too damp, it's probably good then just to test on the first floor, and I doubt that you're spending a whole lot of time in the basement, and so the question then is really what you're breathing. And so we'd really want to know what your results would be upstairs. And houses old and new, with dirt floors, with perfectly finished basements, any house can have a radon problem. And that's why we want everyone to test, because that's the only way you know what your radon levels are. I think I'll turn it over to Bob at this point if he has something to add.
Not particularly. I mean, the only thing I would add is if she was talking about a dirt floor basement, Scott, we would not even have started the testing there anyway. That's basically would be considered non-livable space. So as Kevin said, I would have just recommended the same thing, test the first floor and see how you stand.
All right, let's take another phone call from Sudesh in Mechanicsburg. Sudesh, you're on the air.
Good morning, Scott. Thanks for a great program.
Thank you.
And I just have one question. If radon is such a big issue, why isn't it mandated that homes and new homes that are being built have a radon extraction from the basement going out when the houses are built?
Mm.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for your call. Bob, you touched on this a little bit earlier, but, you know, he has a good point. If this is such a danger, why not some mandates?
Well, I guess probably because two things. I mean, one, it's a naturally occurring substance. So I guess the government gets a little concerned about mandating that. And two, it's in people's homes. So that's another thing. And we're seeing that with the vaccine issue right now. People are not wanting to be told to get vaccinated. So I don't know that the government can tell people what to do in their own homes. Those are the two reasons that I would give to that questioner, basically, even though we, you know, strongly encourage and we're still looking to try to do some more legislation where we wouldn't have builders install these during new construction if we can get that passed. And the other thing would be to get schools to require testing in schools, and then also real estate transactions have those requirements. But right now, none of those things are required by, you know, either state or federal regulations.
Well, no one likes to hear that the government is mandating something, but I mean, right. Think about some of the things that is mandated by government. Flood insurance, for example, in some areas. I mean, if radon is a threat to human life and health, I get the sense that radon doesn't get a whole lot of attention. And Kevin, let me ask you about this. I mean, we're talking about it today. There are so many things that we do talk about, but radon doesn't seem to get a lot of attention.
Yeah, there was an estimate, and it is an estimate, I stress that, that was done several years ago, that approximates something in the realm of 1,400 or 1,500 radon-related lung cancer deaths every year in Pennsylvania. And of course, as you said, the majority of those do occur in people who have the cofactors, both smoking and radon. The thing is that the lung cancer cells don't hold up their hands and say, oh, radon caused me or smoking caused me or both. And that makes it hard then although we know this is truly happening from an epidemiological perspective, when you study large groups of populations and their radon levels, the science is abundantly clear, has been clear for a number of years, and certainly with the pooled epidemiologic studies that have happened this century, there's really no question about radon causing these deaths. The question is that as long as people don't put two and two together, so to speak, it is really difficult to address an issue that is colorless, tasteless, invisible, and doesn't cause any immediate symptoms. You know, certainly the Lung Association does strongly recommend that we have programs in place that protect people from hazardous substances as much as possible. And that could include certainly basic requirements for testing on real estate transaction, for example. At the same time, we also recognize that those individuals who believe that government shouldn't mandate, that then implies that they have the responsibility themselves and that they should then take those responsibilities into their own hands. Because after all, if there's not a government mandate, then that means it is your personal responsibility to take care of this problem. Mm-hmm. And we're not seeing enough of that, unfortunately. There's a group of people who I think say, well, if it were important, the government would make me do it. Well, if you don't believe in the nanny state, then it's important to take the responsibility into your own hands.
We have several emails from listeners. John, I keep hearing about radon in basements. What about houses that don't have basements? If you have a basement, is your exposure increased by the amount of time that you spend in the basement? What about a home circulation system? If you have a central air circulation system, does this cause the radon in the basement to be dispersed throughout the house? If a property is a rental, is the landlord required to obtain and pay for this remedy? John, you should get a job as a talk show host because you have some really good questions there. So let me start, Mike, with the question about if you don't have a basement. Have you performed any kind of mitigation efforts in a home that does not have a basement?
Many times, Scott. Basically, the basement does not mean you have radon or you don't. It all depends on how much uranium is in the soil beneath your foundation. So it could be a slab on grade, could be basement. Many times, the only way to know is to test. And actually, I picked up a test yesterday at a slab on grade home, and their levels were elevated. So the best thing to do is test no matter what kind of foundation type you have. And if you don't, you know, going back to the dirt basement, if you don't spend time down there, there's no point of testing there. You want to test where you're living, your first floor, your second floor. Certainly, if you have a basement, that should be where your levels are the highest. And then that does not mean that your levels are low on the first or second or even third floor. Especially if you have a forced hot air or central air system, you could be moving that radon around the home very easily. Obviously, the lower the floor, the higher the radon, but does not mean that a slab on grade home or even the first or second floor of a home with a basement wouldn't have radon.
Bob, his last question, if a property is a rental, is the landlord required to obtain and pay for the remedy?
Not at this point. That's sort of a sticky issue, I think, across the whole country, Scott. And those landlord rental laws have not really been formalized. So we would, you know, encourage the landlord to do the testing for them. And if they don't, the tenant certainly has the option to do the testing themselves. And then they need to work between themselves and make some decisions between the landlord and the tenant, you know, what's going to happen.
Getting a lot of questions about some possible, it sounds almost like home remedies or natural remedies. Jim wants to know, what is the impact of ambient light on radon? How about a dehumidifier, Bob?
It would have no effect. No, those, no.
Nothing. Okay. Nothing. Andrea wants to know, our audience is always very curious. It's one of the things I like about them. Andrea wants to know, what's the purpose of radon in nature? How is it created? And if you could see the gas in the home, what would it look like? Hanging at the floor or evenly distributed throughout the house? Well, I think, Bob, you touched on how it's created with the uranium. Does it have a purpose in nature?
Well, it would have the same purpose, I guess, that any other of the however many chemical elements we now have out there, basically. I mean, I guess some of them have more purpose than others. Some of them are used in manufacturing and making semiconductors and incorporated into our body. Radon does not have any of those properties. It's I don't know that it has any significant purpose, to tell you the truth.
Well, I will add, let me just interject. Radon has been used to help in certain kinds of cancer treatment issues, where something like radon, if you will, seeds have been used to help do some local treatments. But it's not so much that there is a purpose as the idea that radon is a chemical element that's very rare, actually, but because of how it acts in terms of its decay products and its decay products getting in direct contact with lung tissue, that we have this big risk of lung cancer. It's a very unusual process for most radioactive elements. They don't. It's a radioactive element that's a gas to begin with. That already puts it into an unusual category. And because it's a gas, it does mix fairly freely, even though it comes in from cracks and openings from the soil and uranium under the house that decays. It then, as the house turns over its air, the radon will then circulate throughout the house. I don't want people to mistakenly think that radon is only going to be floating around at floor level. It does mix into the air that we breathe quite readily, and we'll get, of course, into the upper floors as well.
Kevin, we have several questions along these lines. Sharon asks, if I work in an office that has radon, will opening a window help lower the levels and risk? I mean, as I said, we've had several questions along those lines that basically, is there a way to circulate air?
Well, you want to be careful about opening windows because it's possible that if you have your window open on, let's say, the downwind side of the house, you'll create a partial vacuum that can actually draw radon into the house. You want to make sure that you're controlling air movement through the house. I mean, certainly Lung Association agrees with good ventilation, helps clear out all other kinds of indoor air pollutants. But at the same time, you want to do it with some common sense to make sure that you're managing the airflow through the house. Of course, if you have windows open all the time and you're not allergic to pollens and things like that outdoors, and you have good air quality, then great. But that'll help lower the radon if you get good cross ventilation. But be a little bit careful about, like putting an exhaust fan in to try to reduce the radon level. That sometimes actually can create a problem.
Greg asks, I have an old house with a stone foundation. I spend a lot of time in my basement workshop. I tested for radon, a free kit from DEP, 10 to 15 years ago. The test was negative. Is it time to test again? Bob, do you still have those free tests, and is it time to test again?
We generally don't have the free test, Scott, but it's a good idea to test every once in a while. Every 5-10 years is not unreasonable. If you originally tested and you were low, this is becoming a good time to do the test. Well, it's not with this weather, but as soon as the weather sort of changes, we get into heating season, which is the ideal time to test. 15 years, I would say, would be reasonable time to retest by all means.
Hmm. Let's take a phone call from Eric in Lancaster. Eric, you're on Smart Talk.
Good morning, Scott, and I just want to say thank you for this program. This topic has been on my mind, and I appreciate the information that the guests are imparting. I have to say that I moved with my family 2 years ago to Lancaster and was aware of radon and, tried to educate myself as much as possible. However, I have a lump building in my gut here, just hearing everything, all the information you're giving. So it's certainly going to expedite my caution, and I'm going to try to get tested NA system ASAP. But I wanted to ask more specifically about any potential development of government incentives, maybe rebates or something along those lines that might help homeowners and or landlords just kind of take the step to mitigate radon in homes.
Bob, what about that?
Sorry to say, I'm not aware of anything like that for the most part throughout the country. Not in Pennsylvania, unfortunately. It's pretty much on the shoulder, it is solely on the shoulders of the homeowner to initially do the testing. All that we do from that point of view is encourage them to do the testing. We certainly do that, but financially, we don't provide any financial assistance. Sorry.
Why don't you have this free test anymore, Bob?
We've had those off and on. We have them under very certain situations. We have a newborn program where we give free test kits to parents of newborn. And we have what we call a remedial program where we give test kits to people that have had active systems installed if they get to us within the first year. But other than that, that's about it. We're basically, it's just the industry is well established now. So, and the test kits at Home Depot, Lowe's, True Value Ace, all the home stores are not that terribly expensive, $20 to $30. Mostly people can get the test kit that. And then occasionally there are, during the January National Radon Action Month, there are some free test kits that come available through one organization or the other, but generally speaking, we don't do that very often anymore.
I think it should be part of the welcome wagon gift pack that they hand out. you get the thing that you can open the jars with, but you also can get a free radon kit to go along with that. Somebody could advertise on it. Anyway, Tim asked, I have recently installed a radon mitigation system with a new fan on a previous passive system. My radon mitigator claims the system isn't working well because of a high water table, though I already have a sump pump system that runs regularly. How can I address this to make sure my radon system works well? Mike, and this kind of goes back to our caller with the dirt floor. Sounds like there's a lot of moisture in the home. Can you answer his question?
Well, most of the time, the water table does not become an issue. But I would say if they have a fan installed, the best thing to do is do a test and see where their levels stand. I don't believe they mentioned that they did that. And if they have some issues with that, the sump pump should certainly be handling the water, but possibly a little bit stronger fan, you know, would help move more air. But I would say they should be okay as long as they do a test and see where they stand to start with.
We have a call, or I should say we have a question from Judy. He wants to know, Bob, and I'll put this to you, does soil type affect the production or presence of radon? For example, the soil in our region is red clay.
I can't specifically speak to red clay, but I mean, soils certainly can have some characteristics. I mean, obviously, some soils have slightly higher concentrations of the radium than others, and then also the soil permeability can have some influence on the entry of radon into the home. I would think if you had clays, very impermeable type soils, you would generally act as somewhat of a barrier to radon movement. Radon has to be able to migrate through the soils in order to get into the basement foundation.
Jim is in Williamsport. Jim, you're on Smart Talk.
Hey, Scott, you're my morning companion. Hey, if you go to mitigate, I'm one of those dirt floor homeowners, very old home. I understand what the guest was talking about, saying how you do things under the basement floor or under the slab. What is the mechanical thing you do to mitigate radon in a dirt floor, dirt basement home?
Mike, what about that?
Well, oftentimes we put down a membrane, usually a 6 mil plastic or stronger if you're going to use the area for storage. And then we move air from that membrane. So it's sealed tight around the edges, and we get it up the wall, usually about a foot. Sometimes we go more depending on your foundation type. And we can certainly move air from that submembrane to create the vacuum we need to evacuate that gas.
Hey, we're almost out of time. Jim, thank you very much for your call. Bob, we're going to leave you with last word. Maybe this program today has brought radon to some of our listeners' attention. What kind of advice would you have for them?
Appreciate it, Scott. Thank you. Sure. I mean, we're getting to the ideal time. The house is going to be closed up. The weather is going to be a little cooler. The heating season is on. This is the best time in the year to be doing the testing. Go out and get a test kit. By all means, give us a call here at the department. We have an 800 line that they can get to us, reach any. We're glad to eat questions. We'll take any time. And testing schools, buildings, and homes are what we're basically encouraging and have been encouraging for the last 35 years. So as Kevin would certainly, advance, where, you know, this is one of the most easily preventable cancers that there is, lung cancer. Stop smoking and get your house tested for radon.
Hey, okay, I said there's a last question. I lied. You mentioned schools. I mean, we've been talking almost exclusively about homes here. What about schools? Are they tested?
Well, there's no requirement, unfortunately, in Pennsylvania, Scott, that schools be tested. And I'm not sure what percentage of them, but some schools have taken it upon themselves to test. We have been encouraging them to test. We even help them. Kevin has a program where we can provide training for the school personnel to be trained in order to test their own facilities. And if they do that, Kevin also has some ability to provide some test kits to the school staff to test their own buildings. But not all of the schools have tested, unfortunately. We would certainly like to see more of them do that.
A lot of questions here. I want to thank our guests for being with us. Bob Lewis, Radon Manager, Program Manager with the Pennsylvania Department of Environmental Protection, Kevin Stewart, Director of Environmental Health at American Lung Association of the Mid-Atlantic, and Mike Webster with M. Webster Construction in Lebanon. Gentlemen, thank you very much for being with us today.